Matthew chapter number 14, first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 14 this evening. Begin reading in verse number 32. We'll read through the end of the chapter, verse number 36. Matthew chapter number 14. We'll read responsively. I'll read verse number 32, and then you'll join me on verse 33. We'll alternate like that through verse number 36. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse number 32, the Bible says, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent about into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased." And we'll finish on verse number 36 together. "And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for the importance it holds. Lord, the importance that not only that it should hold in our life, but whether we accept it or not, the power that we receive from it. Lord, thank you for the word of God. We appreciate the opportunity we have to come to a place that, Lord, will not sit here this evening and listen to a man's opinion, but Lord, we'll hear a truth presented from God's word. Lord, please, it's the word of God that will make a difference in our lives. And would you take the truth that we hear tonight, not only hide it in our hearts, but Lord, would you stir us to leave from here and use it to make a difference in somebody else's life. Use our pastor now as he preaches. Fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. We'll yield ourselves as best as we know how. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I'd like your attention for just a little while here. John the Baptist, early in Matthew chapter 14, the chapter begins with John the Baptist having his head chopped off and killed. He's now dead. The disciples see this take place, and of course, John the Baptist was not only a beloved preacher and friend of theirs, but also was actually a biological cousin to Jesus. That would be similar to me saying that, getting up here and telling you that Brother Fugit had his head cut off. Somebody that we know and love, and somebody that I would know personally, that type of thing. Right after that, you have the feeding of the 5,000. We're not going into that story, but you have to understand something. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells his disciples, "Get in the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee, and I'll meet you there tomorrow." He begins to pray. They get in a boat. They're rowing from the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee to the northwest corner to a city called Gennesaret. While they're out in the middle of the sea that night, if you remember, the wind begins to blow. Jesus comes walking out across the water. They think they're going to die. They look out, think Jesus is a ghost. If you looked at verses 26 and 27 and 28, don't look at it now. You'll find out that they said, "Look, it's a spirit. It's not Jesus." And Peter said, "If thou be the Son of God, bid me come thee onto the water." Then Peter jumps out of the boat. He begins walking on the water, and he starts looking around, begins to sink. Jesus reached out, picked him up, walked back to the boat, and that's where we picked up. And the wind ceased the moment they got in the boat. Now, I say all that to say this. As the morning light takes hold, the people in the town of Gennesaret realize there's a man in town named Jesus. They've heard of his fame. The people of Gennesaret begin stirring and begin bringing people to see Jesus. See, they've heard that if you touch just the hem of his garment, that they could be healed. They wanted their friends, their family, their loved ones, their neighbors who were sick to be healed. As far as I can tell, Jesus has never been in this town before. Not one time. The people there knew of him, but he did not know them. But his fame had spread abroad. They wanted their family, their friends, and their loved ones. They dropped everything to begin bringing people to Jesus. Most of the people were not even saved. Jesus went there so that many would be healed, so that they could preach the gospel to them and get a bunch of them saved. Now here's the thought that I want to get to you tonight, and I want your eyeballs, I want your attention. If you miss this, you're going to miss the whole truth tonight. How can a bunch of lost people care more and work harder to bring people to Jesus than we do? Grace Baptist Church is a hospital for the hurting. But how hard are we working to bring folks to get help? Oh, you just expect them to show up. But I mean, how hard are we working personally to bring somebody? You'll like this. I wrote this just for y'all. The average church is like the Obamacare medical system of today, that you wait forever, get lousy care at best. Everyone's treated the same, like a number, and they have no trouble taking your money while they do nothing. That's the average church of today. I'm not complaining if you're in the medical field. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you've been in the doctors or the hospital lately, y'all know what I'm talking about. I like these people of Gennesaret. They did not care who Jesus was. They just knew what he could do. They didn't care. They weren't afraid of the stigma that went with, well, that's a Christian. That's one of those Jesus people. They didn't care about that. They wanted their friends and their family and their loved ones better. They saw a way for people that they loved to get helped, and they rushed them there by the multitudes. Here's the question. Who are you seeking to bring to Jesus? Who is sick by sin and needs brought to Jesus, but we're afraid to talk to him? We're afraid to ask him. May I say this? Church is not for the polished, the perfect, and the professional Christian. Let me say that again. Church is not for the perfect, the polished, and the professional Christian. It's a hospital for sinners. Guess what? We all qualify. That means this. This also must mean that we're to bring everybody with whom we come in contact with to come get the help that they need. Who will you bring? Let's talk about these people of Gennesaret for a moment. Number one, Jesus came for the sinners, not for the righteous. Jesus came for the sinners, not for the righteous. Look at Luke. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10 says this. For the Son of Man is come. Okay, who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
There you go. Let's try it again. Who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was righteous. Oh, to seek and save those which who are saved? No, those which are lost. Jesus came for the lost people of this world. That was you and me. He came to pay the sin debt so that we could get to heaven. Now, watch this. He went to Gennesaret. They did not call for him to come. They did not invite him to come. He went on his own accord. He went because lost people were there that needed what he had, and he went there, and when he showed up, they said, "Whew, he's here. Let's go get help. And let's go get the people we know and get them the help they need." I'm going to make some statements here that I'll probably get some feedback on later, but I don't care. We don't need to have a prayer meeting begging God to save somebody. God wants them saved more than you do. He already did everything he could. It's up to the sinner and us to get the gospel to them.
Yes, sir.
We need people to spend time begging other people with the gospel. We don't need to quit bothering God with it and get off our knees and get on our feet and go tell somebody about Jesus. Get a little tired of people that spend 20 years praying for somebody to get saved when God said, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe we ought to get off our backside and do nothing and go out and get the gospel to somebody that will listen and ask God that while you do that, somebody goes talks to the person that you want saved that they'll listen to. I'm for that. And I'm not for you saying, God, would you save that person? But God already told us he would save them. That's why he came. We don't have to ask him to save them. We need to say, would you send somebody so they would get saved? Boy, that's good stuff. God has already done all his part. We don't need to ask God to do our part. He said, I've taken care of the gospel. Now it's your responsibility to get it out. If they die and go to hell, that's because you didn't get the gospel to them or they rejected it. Plain and simple. You'll not stand before God over the fact that, well, I prayed for 30 years for so-and-so to get saved. Did you ever tell them? Well, no. What good's that? Who will go out and help those who need Jesus, but they don't know he's there? Mrs. Lopez told me this morning she led a boy to the Lord that came and visited today. Y'all think I'm kidding when I tell stories like I have in the past few weeks? Little boy, first time Mrs. Lopez told me, she said, in all these years as a soul winner, I've never had this, but she had a child tell her today that he wasn't a sinner. He did not know what sin was. How sad. She had to explain to a child what sin was. She'd been around me too long. He said, well, I've never sinned. She said, well, you're a liar. There's your first one. She's been around me way too much. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I don't find anywhere in here, Brother Mike, that Jesus forced people to go out and bring people to him. I don't find one place in this passage or anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said to the people of Gennesaret that you need to go get everybody you can and bring them here. No, he showed up and they just started bringing them. The people of Gennesaret brought people to Jesus on their own accord. They didn't go seeking the wealthy business people unless they were sick. They were bringing the sick people. The maimed, the halt, the blind, those that had diseases. Kind of reminds me of Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. Sounds similar to what Jesus did. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Didn't say anything about the up and out. He just preached the gospel to anybody that would listen. We got too many churches fishing for people with big bank accounts. Everybody doing okay? I believe in net fishing, not hook and line fishing. The time Jesus told somebody to go fishing, they threw a net. That means you catch everything. You throw a hook out there, you're angling for a certain kind of fish. Now, if you fish like me, you'll take anything that bites it, amen? But most of the time, when you're using a hook, you're searching for a certain type of fish. When you throw a net, it's indiscriminatory. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Big, fat, skinny, little, tall, old, young, doesn't matter, anything in between and everything in between. He wants them all. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. These were men that fished with nets, not with hooks and lines. Boy, that's good stuff. Number two, I got to hurry. I'm about to shout. The people of Gennesaret didn't expect Jesus to talk to every person. look at your Bibles with me there in Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse number 36. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. They said, look, you don't even need to talk to him. You don't need to bother him. You don't need to get in his way. All you need to do is just touch the hem of his garment. I wonder where they learned that. Back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 20. Remember, there was a lady with an issue of blood who she'd spent all of her life's earning, had nothing, and she had enough faith. She said, look, if I can just get to Jesus and but touch the hem of his garment, I have enough faith that he could heal me. Look at verse number 20, Matthew chapter 9. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came and behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about when he saw her. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. That story traveled all the way to Gennesaret. The people of the city knew they didn't need to talk to him. They just needed to have enough faith to get to him and touch the hem of his garment. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be afraid of Jesus and you don't have to say much. You just got to be close enough to touch him. Just touch the hem of his garment. Word was traveling fast about what was going on around Jesus. The people of Gennesaret, listen to this statement, put on themselves the responsibility of getting people to Jesus. Did you know that sick people don't travel well? Did you know that many sick people don't feel like getting up and walking or riding a donkey or riding a horse or riding a camel somewhere? Most of you, if you get a sniffle, won't even get out of bed. And if you're a man, you're going to be there for 3 weeks. It amazes me how little it takes for people to hibernate. They think they might get sick, so I'm going to stay in. Okay. The people of Gennesaret put on themselves to go get sick people. People with cancers. People who had major diseases. People who were crippled. People who were blind. People who were deaf. People who were dumb, and I'm not going to say anything about that, but people who had many different types of ailments, many maybe had only one leg or one arm or whatever happened, and they put it on themselves to get those people close enough to Jesus to touch him. Those people weren't going to get out of their homes on their own and travel across town without a car, without air conditioning. Hello. They inconvenienced themselves to go get somebody and bring them to Jesus. Let me ask you, how inconvenienced would you be to bring somebody to Jesus? They had to go get them. They had to carry them. They had to wheel them in. They had to put them in the back of a pickup truck and roll it, push it in or whatever. I don't know how else to say this, and if this is you, I'm not intending it to be, but people who are sick aren't generally real nice when they got to move somewhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, when you get sick, you get a bit grumpy. And if you've been sick a long time, the longer they've been sick, the grumpier they get. Who do you know or live near who is in need but won't get help because you won't bring them to Jesus? Folks, we have the truth. We have the answer. They just need someone like the Ethiopian eunuch who talked to Philip and he said, how can I except some man guide me? Well, we're the guides. Number three, hang on. the people of Gennesaret went beyond their town. Look at verse number 35 with me. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. They didn't just go to their neighborhood. They didn't just go back to where they lived. It said they went out into all the country. May I interpret the Greek here a little bit for you? They went out into the hollers. They went out into the one-lane dirt roads and the divot drives. Amen, Brother Larry? They went out into the... my wife and Mrs. Shoebridge the other day, they were making a visit. And my wife turned down a street. And, well, it wasn't a street. It's a road. It's a path, but it's gravel. And she said, I didn't know there were houses back there. Did you? I said, yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. She said, I've never been back on that road. We've been here over 20 years. I said, it's there. She said, I found it. We're knocking on doors. It's just a little gravel road that goes out across the ridge. Those are the kind of places that they went into to find people who were sick to bring them to come to Jesus. That means friends and acquaintances that they didn't even know well. You know what I'm talking about. You drive through neighborhoods. You drive through places and see people who have sicknesses or afflictions or different things. I drove through my neighborhood a couple months ago and noticed an ambulance out in front of somebody's house. No. It wasn't yours. I'd have stopped. Later I found out it's an older fella and found out he'd had a stroke and he's a bit incapacitated right now. This is a guy who used to take care of his lawn immaculately. Now he can't do it. I just happened to see a family member out and rolled my window down one day and said, hey, where's so-and-so? He said, oh, he had a stroke. He's going to make it, but he's going to be a long time. I said, I'm so sorry. Gave him a gospel track. Told him I was there if they needed me. Do you notice people like that? They weren't selfish. They were busy reaching people. They stopped working even to go get people. They didn't get overtime that day. They didn't go to a second job so they could pay off credit cards that they had unwisely done. No, they inconvenienced themselves to go get somebody else to help them. Maybe we ought to expand who we talk to. Now, I know this is the trackinest church the world has ever seen. Y'all are good about telling folks about Jesus, but if you're like anybody else in this world, which I know you are, we don't do all we could. Well, I'm at work. I can't say anything. Says who? They talk about Hollywood. They talk about politics. They talk about everything under the sun, but if you bring up Jesus, oh, you can't do that. Says who? It's not illegal, just so you know. As long as you're still working, you can still do it. And you have breaks and everything else. Maybe they were getting word out to tell everybody else that they knew to start bringing people as well. Sometimes it's not you knowing somebody, but you know somebody that knows somebody. Man, we get so many know somebody that know somebody that know somebody that know somebody around here that knew Loretta or was related to her some way, some shape, form, fashion, or another. Can I tell you something? That's what the people of Gennesaret were doing. Jesus shows up to town and they went everywhere. They went out into the hollers. They went up into the ridges. They went down into the low places and they went and got people to come. By the way, that's what in our day, that's somewhat of what we do with our missions program. We give a certain amount every month to, we support five different missionaries. And by the way, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Correct? Well, this is Jerusalem. Judea was the state. So in our state, we helped support a man named Brother Kevin Arcola over in Blacksville, West Virginia. Brother Arcola, if you've never been to Blacksville, if you've not been on that side of the state to understand it, okay, that's where they pump sunshine in and moonshine out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And if you don't belong there, they don't talk to you and they look at you, and you better not stay long. I've been there many a time, and there's one gas station and a Dollar General in the whole town. And he'll say, I got to go down to Dollar General. Come with me, preacher. And I'll say, are you sure? Oh, yeah, it's okay. I'm with you. I'll walk through the door. They're howdying him, and he said, it's okay. He's with me. All right. That's about as all you get there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you've ever been in that part of West Virginia, if you don't belong there, they know it, and they'll chase you out. So we support Brother Arcola a little bit of money every month. Then we have two foreign missionaries. That's Braxton and Liz Jackson that are going to India. By the way, they're there for the next 3 weeks. They just took off for India for 3 weeks. They're getting some things ready to go full time out there. Then we've got James and Abby Baxter, who are in South Sudan, and they've been there for, I think, 2 years now. Or 1 year. It's been a while, but it's exciting what God's doing there. We've got folks around the world. We've got folks in our state. Then we have Macedonia World Baptist Missions. They're stateside, but we're putting gospel tracts into the hands of people who are going out around the world. We also support Jehovah Jireh Ministry. Dr. Jim Bossy, Brother Bossy is the one who gave us our first $45,000 for our church property. And they're helping new church plants all around the country. So we've got Jerusalem, that's us. Judea, that's Brother Arcola. Samaria, that's the country, that's Jehovah Jireh. And then the uttermost part of the earth, that's our foreign missions works. I believe in doing it as scripturally as we can. Does that make sense to everybody? But can I tell you something? If that's all you're counting on and you give money towards it, great. But that's not everything you're supposed to do. The people of Gennesaret did more than that. They inconvenienced themselves and went and got people and brought them to Jesus. I know churches that the only thing they do for the Lord is give money to missions. It's a missions-minded church. Yeah, but you don't go soul winning anywhere. So what's good is it? I'm going to make a statement here. Are you ready? Well, who do I talk to? Did you know you can't get the gospel to the wrong person? Did you know you can't witness to the wrong person? Now, sometimes if you witness to the apartment manager first, you might get kicked out. But they need it more than anybody else does anyway. Amen? I love it. There's a couple neighborhoods in our area that if we have soul winners in there, oh, do I get the phone calls? Oh, I get the phone calls. You're not supposed to be soliciting. Every once in a while, they catch me here and I'll answer the phone and I'll say, we're not. Well, we have bylaws for our subdivision that you're not. I said, look, your subdivision bylaws have no bearing on what my church does. That's what you must do as somebody that lives there. I don't have to abide by them while I'm visiting there. No. Call the police. You want their number? Here it is. You say, preacher, have you done it? Yeah. I had one guy call me back. He was so mad. He said, you're right. The police said they couldn't do anything. I said, I told you. He said, well, don't knock on my door. I said, can't promise you that. Say why? You can't get the gospel to the wrong person. I remember it was several years ago now. Some of our ladies were soul winning in an area and knocked on the door, and this lady got a bit cranky. Told them to go somewhere they couldn't go. Well, the next week, they went back to the same neighborhood. And my wife happened to be knocking on doors and didn't realize they picked up right before where they left off, and guess whose door was the last one they knocked on the week before? And guess who knocked on it the first time? The second week. She did. Oh, did I get another phone call? I got cussed out real good that day. I promise you, cross my heart. The third week, somebody didn't even show up to church wide soul winning, went out soul winning in that area and knocked on that door again. 3 weeks in a row. She called, threatening to call the police and put a restraining order against the church and everything. And I said, okay. I went down to the police department, downtown Martinsburg. Walked in, asked to talk to one of the higher-ups in the police department there. I explained to the man what was going on. When you have a captain or chief, I don't know who it was, he looked at me and said, is this lady demon-possessed or what? I said, sir, I don't know. I just want you to know, as pastor of the church, I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, well, I guess you could post her address somewhere at your church. I said, you really think that's a wise idea? He said, yeah, that didn't sound good when it came out of my mouth. I said, with my crowd, they'd go there on purpose, probably. And he just started laughing. I said, I just wanted on record that I came to you, told you what was happening, and that you know that my intent is not harassment. First time it was legit, second time was an honest mistake, and third time the person that knocked on their door had no idea what was going on. He said, Pastor, don't you worry. If you knock on again this week, we'll go calm her down. He said, what's she so upset about, a church knocking on her door for? I said, would you answer me this question? He said, sure. I said, the kids from the school that go selling door to door in neighborhoods that say no soliciting, is that soliciting? He said, yep. He said, you're pretty sharp. I said, my folks knocking on doors, giving out gospel tracts, inviting people to church, is that by law soliciting? He said, have fun, do it on every door you can. He said, we have to respond, but we're not going to do anything to you. Just so you know, that's what the police department said. You say, why? Because that's what the law is. If they want to get upset at the little kid selling their candy bars. Everybody doing all right? The people of Gennesaret didn't care who knocked on their door. They just wanted to get people to help, get to people to Jesus to help them. I'm done. The people of Gennesaret. Oh, that we as a church could be like these people. That we would be so concerned that we would go tell everybody and bring them to Christ. I've never preached on the people of Gennesaret before. I told my wife, in all the years I've been in church, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon about the people of Gennesaret before. But there is so much to learn from these people from a little town just on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walked on the water partway there, jumped in the boat, finished the trip off, and when he landed, they saw who it was. His fame had spread abroad, and they began to bring people, not even to talk to him, but just get close enough to touch him. Let me ask you a question. How much do you care about telling somebody about the Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Maybe we ought not be so afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. Maybe we ought to scoop up a big hand of gospel tracts and just tell a whole bunch of people about Jesus this week and next week. Let's bring them to him. Not just invite them once, but actually offer to help them.